All over the news just a few weeks ago was the death of Steve Jobs, the founder of Apple Computer. There was much said about his life, things he had done and accomplished in the computer world, the technology world, and so forth. In 2005, he gave the commencement speech at Stanford University. And in that speech, he made the following statement. Remembering that I'll be dead soon is the most important tool I've ever encountered to help me make the big choices in life. Because almost everything, all external expectations, all pride, all fear of embarrassment or failure, these things just fall away in the face of death, leaving only what's truly important. Remembering that you're going to die is the best way I know to avoid the trap of thinking you have something to lose. You know, thinking about our death helps us put things in perspective. It clarifies what's important. Tonight we're going to look at what the wise man Solomon said many years ago, centuries ago. But it was written for all of us to understand, for all of us to use, to motivate us to think about our death in the proper way. That text is found in Ecclesiastes chapter 7. In verses 2 through 4, and that will be our starting point for tonight's lesson. Ecclesiastes 7, verses 2 through 4. Ecclesiastes 7, beginning in verse 2, says, "It's better to go to the house of mourning than to go to the house of feasting, for that's the end of all men, and the living will take it to heart. Sorrow is better than laughter, for by a sad countenance the heart is made better. The heart of the wise is in the house of mourning, but the heart of fools is in the house of mirth." You know, as Hebrews chapter 9, verse 27 teaches, it's appointed for men to die once, and after this, judgment. That's the end of all flesh. That's the way of all flesh, is to end in death, because that is our appointment. That's the way our lives are. They end in death. And so by thinking about that and understanding, Solomon says, how important it is to focus on the future. Because, as the writer of Hebrews says, after death comes judgment. After death comes judgment. Solomon says in our passage, "The foolish never prepare for their death. As a result, they waste much of their lives." And we don't have to listen to the news or read the newspapers very long to understand how many people waste their lives. They pursue all kinds of things that have no bearing. That's not important. That's irrelevant. I mean, it's amazing how people waste their lives. Well, we need to take advantage of our short lives. We want to make sure we don't waste our days on the unimportant. Back in Psalm 90, the psalmist gives us some great advice. Psalm 90, and notice in particular verse 12, and then we'll go back to Psalm 39. Psalm 90, verse 12 says this, "So teach us to number our days, that we may gain a heart of wisdom." Number our days. Make them count. Make sure we take advantage of every day. So regardless of how long we live, it's short. And He wants us to use them wisely. We want to make sure we don't waste them. In Psalm 39, here's what the psalmist writes about that very thing. Psalm 39, notice verses 4 and 5. Psalm 39, one of David's psalms, verses 4 and 5. David says, "Lord, make me to know my end, and what's the measure of my days, that I may know how frail I am. Indeed, you've made my days as handbreadths, and my age is as nothing before you. Certainly every man at his best state is but vapor." What did David say? "Make me to know my end." Help me to understand where my life is going, because my life is heading toward an end. So help me to number those days. Help me to make the days count. Help me to make sure I don't waste days on things that aren't important, because every day is precious and our lives pass quickly. They pass quickly by. In Psalm 103, the psalmist writes, beginning in verse 14, Psalm 103, verse 14. Another psalm of David. For he, referring to the Lord, knows our frame. He remembers that we're dust. As for man, his days are like grass. As a flower of the field, so he flourishes. For the wind passes over it and is gone, and its place remembers it no more. It remembers it no more. Our life is fleeting. So no wonder, place after place after place, God encourages us, admonishes us, wants us to number our days so that we don't waste them. So we don't waste them, because they're precious. Time is so precious that we don't want to throw any of it away. That's what the psalmist is telling us, and that's what Solomon is saying back in Ecclesiastes 7. The wise person understands where he's going. The wise person understands the end. The wise person knows how important every day is. And as the Solomon writes, the living, the wise living, take it to heart. They understand that. They understand how quickly life passes. They understand how important it is not to waste it. You know, the world throws so much at us, gives us so many ways in which we can waste our lives. And they want us to. The world, Satan wants us to waste our lives. Satan doesn't want us to use our time wisely. You know, Paul wrote to the church at Ephesus says, redeem the time. Redeem it. It's like we're given so much time, and he wants us to use that time in the best possible way. So we need to think every day, how am I going to use this day in the best possible way? Because once it's gone, it's gone. We can't buy any more time. What we're given is what we're given. And that's why it's considered to be so precious. So the first thing is that death is a great teacher. Death is a great teacher. The next thing, there are benefits of a funeral. I know, I think everybody in here has gone to at least a funeral, if not many, many of them. And there are benefits in going to a funeral. First of all, God has our undivided attention. Usually at a funeral, our minds aren't wandering around at half a dozen different things. They're focused on what? They're focused on the death of the one that just passed. And so when we're there, God has our attention. And so we're focused on that death. We're focused on the person who's passed. So every funeral anticipates our own. It anticipates our own. So when we attend a funeral, we almost always think about our own. And we may not think it's very far away, or we may think it's a long ways away, but we anticipate our own. Why? Because that's the end of all flesh. That's where we're headed. We are headed to that same circumstance. It's appointed unto man, all men, to die once. It is. It's appointed that we die once. And after this, judgment. So at a funeral, he has our undivided attention. Also at a funeral, it helps us understand more clearly the result of the fall in the Garden of Eden, because that's where physical death started, in the fall in the Garden of Eden. In Genesis chapter 3, we read about that fall and its consequences. Genesis chapter 3, notice verse 17. Genesis chapter 3, verse 17. God is talking to Adam. Then to Adam he said, "Because you've heeded the voice of your wife and have eaten from the tree of which I commanded you, saying, 'You shall not eat of it,' cursed is the ground for your sake. In toil you shall eat of it all the days of your life. Both thorns and thistles it shall bring forth for you, and you shall eat the herb of the field. In the sweat of your face you shall eat bread till you return to the ground, for out of it you were taken, for dust you are, and to dust you shall return." And of course, they are eventually what? They're kicked out of the Garden of Eden. They no longer have access to the tree of life. Remember, God set cherubim there, flaming swords to make sure they never entered the Garden of Eden again. So sin brought physical death into the world. And sin brought spiritual death into the world. Much of Romans chapter, I believe it's chapter 5, talks about that very thing. That by the sin of Adam, death entered the world. And so when we go to a funeral, we look at the funeral and we see the people there and we see their sorrow, we see their mourning, we see their crying, and we understand that death came about because of the fall. Death came about because of the fall. A funeral also reminds us of how truly short our lives are. This past week, there were two funerals of ones whose lives were cut short very early. And did not live long at all. And so I was talking to my dad, who was at one of them, and it's amazing how those lives, they just pass so quickly. And so when we go to funerals, even if it's someone that is older, we realize how quickly those lives pass. And so funerals, there are benefits of being at a funeral and attending one. It teaches us. It teaches us how short they are. Remember, James talked about that. James chapter 4. James chapter 4. James writes this, beginning in verse 13. James writes, beginning in verse 13 and following, "Come now, you who say, 'Today or tomorrow we will go to such and such a city, spend a year there, buy and sell and make a profit.' Whereas you do not know what will happen tomorrow. For what is your life? It is even a vapor that appears for a little time and then vanishes away." He says it's like a vapor. He says you don't know if you're going to be here a year from now. Your life may be cut short. You may not be here next year. He says your life is just like a vapor that appears and then it's gone. That's how short life is. And so when we attend a funeral, just like Solomon was talking about in Ecclesiastes 7, going to a house of mourning, it teaches us about how short life is. And those funerals can teach us so much. A funeral reminds us that how we live really matters. It really matters how we live. In 2 Corinthians chapter 5, Paul reminds us of why it's so important. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 10, Paul writes this, "For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that each one may receive the things done in the body according to what he's done, whether good or bad." Do you notice that? What's the reward? What's the punishment based upon? What we have done in the body while we are alive. Because once we leave this world, once we pass away, there are no more opportunities to do good. They're ended. That's why it's so important to number our days, count our days, because those are the only times we have. You know, when we go, when we look at tombstones, and if you've ever gone into a cemetery and you see the birth date and the death they passed away, and then there's a dash in between them. Well, Solomon in Ecclesiastes 7 and Paul in 2 Corinthians 5 says it's the dash that's important. It's the dash that matters. How we live our life matters as to where we spend eternity. Because we're judged upon what we do in this life. Because once our appointment with death comes, it's judgment. No more opportunities, no more chances, no more times to be able to do good, to respond, to do whatever. No more chances. So, after death comes judgment. It's the dash that matters. A funeral also encourages us to live life in light of eternity, not living it in light of this world. Now, most people in the world live their life in light of this world. And that's what they spend their time thinking about and working on and planning, is what happens in this world, not the next. In 1 Peter chapter 4, Peter writes this about that very thing. And excellent advice. 1 Peter chapter 4, beginning in verse 3. 1 Peter chapter 4, beginning in verse 3, Peter writes, "For we've spent enough of our past lifetime in doing the will of the Gentiles," and I had mentioned this morning also, "when we walked in lewdness, lust, drunkenness, revelries, drinking parties, and abominable idolatries. In regard to these, they think it strange that you do not run with them in the same flood of dissipation, speaking evil of you." Now, verse 5. "They will give an account to him who is ready to judge the living and the dead." They will give an account who is ready to judge the living and the dead. So we're not to run with the Gentiles. We're not to run with people in the world. We're to live life thinking about the next life, because this life is short. It's temporary. It's like a vapor. It appears for a while and then it's gone. It's here today, gone tomorrow. It's very, very short. But eternity lasts forever. So that's why instead of planning for this life, we're supposed to plan for the next. We're to live this life in light of eternity, not in this world. And lastly, we get from our context how important and how precious the death of a saint is. How important, how precious the death of a saint is. In Psalm 116, one of the greatest verses, I think, in Psalms, of any of them, Psalm 116, verse 15. Psalm 116, verse 15. The psalmist writes, "Precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of his saints." Why is it precious? Because he knows where they're going to be. He knows where they're going to be. So it is precious in his sight when one of his saints passes. And that's a wonderful thought. Paul knew this. In Philippians chapter 1, Paul writes about that time of passing and what it means to him. In Philippians chapter 1, beginning in verse 21, Paul writes this, "For to me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. But if I live on in the flesh, this will mean fruit for my labor. Yet what I shall choose I cannot tell. For I am hard pressed between the two, having a desire to depart and be with Christ, which is far better." That's what the psalmist meant when he said, "Precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of his saints." Because death for a saint is far better than this world. So Paul said, "I'm kind of hard-pressed. I'm between that rock and a hard spot. It would be far better for me to pass from this life." Because he says, "I'll be with Christ." But he says, "I know for your benefit, it's better for me to stay. But for him, it was better to pass." No wonder precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of his saints, because of what they have to look forward to. Because they are going to be blessed. In Revelation chapter 14, another wonderful, comforting verse. Revelation chapter 14, verse 13. Revelation chapter 14, verse 13. John writes, "Then I heard a voice from heaven saying to me, Write, blessed are the dead who die in the Lord from now on. Yes, says the Spirit, that they may rest from their labors and their works follow them." Those who die in the Lord are blessed. They're entering a blessed state. They're entering a state where there's no more tears, there's no sorrow, there's no mourning, there's no pain. None of those things. So no wonder it's called a blessed state. So for those who die in the Lord, the righteous, those saints who die in the Lord who are faithful, have something wonderful to look forward to. So look at all the things that death teaches us. I call this sermon the wisdom of death because death teaches us more than a party does. Death teaches us more than recreation does. Death teaches us about what's important. To number our days knowing that we only have so many of them. And every time one is gone, it's gone. I can't buy it back. I can't buy another one. That's all. It's gone. So how I use it is what I'm going to be judged by, 2 Corinthians 5:10. What I do in the body, what I do every day, how I choose to live the day makes all the difference in the world. It's the dash that matters. So I need to understand how precious that is and understand that it's far, far, far better to be with the Lord than to stay here. That's what the saints, that's what the righteous, that's what the faithful, that's what those who die in the Lord have to look forward to. Where God says, our Lord says, you will be blessed. So regardless of what life throws at us, the most important thing for us is to be in the Lord, having our sins washed away in baptism, and remaining faithful in the Lord and dying in the Lord. Because then we'll be blessed. Be in that wonderful state, no pain, no crying, no mourning, and no more death. Something wonderful to look forward to. Our lives then on this earth are just proving grounds to see whether we're worthy to live eternally in heaven. So we need to make each day count. Sometimes that means making changes. Maybe we look back and say, I've not been spending my time wisely. I've been wasting it on things that are irrelevant and unimportant, things of this world, when I could be using my time so much better, things that really matter, making that dash very important. Tonight, if you need to respond to this invitation David's going to lead us in, I encourage you to think about the words. Think about what God has told us in His Word about our death. And maybe this has taught us, hopefully, how important that is. If you need to respond tonight, I encourage you to do that as we stand and sing this song.